This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. Support for Latino USA comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting time and money with your current business software or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switched to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/latino. That's odoo.com/latino. Odoo, modern management made simple.
There's a very clear connection to me between what happened in the conquest and what is happening today. For many communities in Mexico, the conquest hasn't ended.
From Futuro Media and PRX, it's Latino USA. I'm Maria Hinojosa. Today, a new film takes on the violent legacy of the Spanish conquest in Mexico. A little over 500 years ago, Hernán Cortés and a few hundred other Spanish conquistadores arrived on the shores of the Americas in what is now called Mexico. From the coast, they marched inland to Tenochtitlan, the capital of the Aztec Empire. They intended to overthrow the Aztecs and claim that territory for the Spanish crown, and they did. On August 13th, 1521, the Spanish conquistadores declared the fall of the Aztec Empire, changing life in the Americas forever. In his new film, 499, director Rodrigo Reyes revisits that moment, but not as a history lesson. Instead, 499 connects past and present by bringing a ghostly conquistador to the 21st century to retrace the route he walked 5 centuries ago. On his journey, the conquistador is forced to listen to testimonies of present-day violence. After it was completed, 499 was shown in film festivals around the world, and it even won an award for its cinematography. But Rodrigo, the director, felt that something was missing from the project. So in the summer of 2021, Rodrigo returned to the root of Cortés. He screened the film in 11 cities for the people who had shared their stories with him. The tour ended in the place and on the exact date the Aztec Empire had fallen 500 years before, Mexico City. In this segment of How I Made It, Rodrigo talks about the reasons why he made his film and why it's important to question history's official narratives. Here's director Rodrigo Reyes.
My name is Rodrigo Reyes. I am a film director, and I made a film called 499, which is about the anniversary of the fall of the Aztec Empire at the hands of Cortés and his allies.
Apareciste una mañana por el oriente, en las playas de Veracruz. Es una extraña coincidencia. Llegaste casi 500 años después de conquistar al Imperio Azteca al lado de tu capitán, Hernán Cortés.
The film is called 499 because really what we're trying to do is to subvert this anniversary. We're trying to intervene in this idea of 500 years. 499 is kind of like a creepy, you know, disturbing, something that makes you uncomfortable to look at.
¿Qué sentiste al descubrir que en una noche te había saltado 5 siglos? ¿Qué te trajo a nuestro tiempo? Busco la respuesta entre tus palabras.
I wanted to make a film that wasn't authoritative, that wasn't a teaching tool, or wasn't something that, you know, you could watch in your history class so you could learn some facts. I really wanted to use this anniversary as an opportunity to look at the present and how history impacts the present, how history remains here. Even if the shapes and the forms of violence have changed, there's a very clear connection to me between what happened in the conquest and what is happening today. For many communities in Mexico, the conquest hasn't ended. In the prologue of the film, the conquistador emerges from the waters and discovers that he's in the 21st century. He washes up in Veracruz and he is forced to walk back to Tenochtitlan, which is now Mexico City, along the same path that he followed in his invasion. I've often been asked why I chose to have a conquistador and why didn't I just do something very straightforward that just focused on the stories of the victims of violence. But I think my job as an artist really is to find the ways to break through to deeper truths. I wanted a symbol. I wanted somebody that people would look at and say, that is power, that is authority. And the conquistador embodies that. He's also a very uncomfortable part of Mexican history. We like to pretend that we're the inheritors of only the good guys of history, or only the glorious Aztecs who were tragically defeated. But I think what's more important is to bring this connection of how we have repeated some of the strategies of conquest and how we have internalized this conquistador. The conquistador is played by an actor, but really he embodies something that exists in Mexico today. The conquistador has always been there. He's living there in the shadows when a young girl is murdered or when a journalist is silenced. It's the same kind of mechanic of control. The conquistador arrives on the beach and he thinks he's back in the 16th century. He starts to walk up a dune, a gigantic mass of sand next to the beach, and then all of a sudden he finds a plastic cup and it just flips his mind. And then beyond on the next hill, he sees a four-wheeler. So he starts to really lose the sense of where he is. Soon enough, he arrives at an elementary school full of little kids on the beach in Veracruz, and they're honoring the Mexican flag like they do every Monday in every school in Mexico. They're marching with the flag and with military music, and he interrupts the ceremony to claim the territory for the Kingdom of Spain.
En nombre de Carlos I, nosotros, sus siervos, os notificamos y os hacemos saber como mejor podemos que Dios, nuestro Señor, uno y eterno, creó el cielo y la tierra.
He gives a speech where he's talking about all the different legal reasons why the Spanish should have rights to this territory and how basically the locals have to be either with them or against them. And if they're against them, then the Spanish can wage all manner of brutal war against them. And as he's giving off this spiel, the kids are just looking at him in shock until suddenly he just loses his voice. And he's silenced. Why, we don't know. It's the magic of cinema, right? It's the magic of his journey. He has been silenced and now he must listen. Across the world today, we can think of any kind of struggle, from the Black Lives Matter struggle to the struggle of indigenous rights here in the U.S., to the struggle, like even talking about U.S. history in a more honest way. There is a lack of listening in our world. And I think it's so damaging and so problematic when positions of power refuse to listen to people who are victims of power. We should be listening to them, even if it's uncomfortable. Slowly through his memories, he starts to be confronted also with actions from the past that question his values and they question facts of what he did.
De repente, he perdido mi voz. No puedo hablar con nadie. Y sin embargo, por mis oídos entran voces que me llaman.
I'm also not trying to say that somehow the conquistador is redeemed in this story. It isn't a white savior story, but it is a story about trying to dismantle that mindset of colonialism and trying to follow a character as their world is expanding and falling apart. The conquistador is played by Eduardo San Juan Breña.
Perdón, soy Eduardo San Juan Breña. Y soy el actor de la película documental 499. Personaje está
An actor from Madrid, Spain, who had never been to Mexico. The moment I saw him in the airport, I remember noticing his long fingernails, which folks will see in the film. He has these very long, kind of Dracula-esque fingernails. And I asked him, well, Edu, why do you have these long fingernails? And he said to me, well, in the 16th century, Europeans didn't cut their fingernails. And I realized that he had fully committed to this project and he was going to bring everything he had to it.
Y sufre una transformación cuando va recorriendo México y viendo la actualidad de México.
He's the only actor in the film. Everybody else that you see on screen is actually a real person. So as I was making the film, I had a lot of doubts. I didn't know if it was going to work because so many of these time traveler films are comedies, but I was trying to do something dead serious. And so I didn't know as I was shooting the film if it was going to work. Every moment, every stage of the process, there was a question mark. When I talked to the people, for instance, and invited them to the film, there was always a question mark, but that question mark also led to a listening, right? A listening as part of the filmmaking process. How do you want this conquistador to enter your space? What do you want to share with him? And that led to really interesting scenes. The conquistador's journey is divided into chapters, just like a traditional kind of pilgrimage. He's on this path and he's listening to stories of the families of murdered journalists or to a mother who is looking for her son who was disappeared. He visits a Native American community. He visits migrants who are traveling from Central America up to the U.S.-Mexico border. He meets a hitman. He meets the mother of a young girl who was murdered in a brutal feminicide. Chapter 3, when we go up to an indigenous community in Soledad Atzompa, which is like a Nahuatl-speaking community, the lead character there is a poet. His name is Sixto, and Sixto refused to give an interview for the film. He said, I don't want to give an interview. I want to speak in poetry because our struggle is to keep our language. So I want to demonstrate the beauty of our language. I want people to hear it and to think poetically.
Maski amo matlasho chiowo ishtlawak. Nintechtepe yo kuika kantotome. Maski shochi kuikame makochikan techishtolo wan tlakuilo.
The music was composed by Pablo Mondragon, who's an old friend of mine, and he did this amazing job in crafting music that sounded like a soundscape, like a landscape of sound. It was something that seemed to come out of the landscape and the spaces and the moments in the film. Pablo also brought on a team of sound designers, and they really worked to balance out the music with the silence. I think silence is very, very important in the film because it draws us into the reality of things. We also built the story so that the encounters of the conquistador would get more and more intense as we move forward. So by the time he gets to the outskirts of Mexico City, he has witnessed a lot of horrific testimonies, and yet there's still something deeper that takes him to a breaking point. when he encounters the story of Fatima, a young 12-year-old girl who was murdered brutally by her neighbors. So by the time the conquistador gets to meet Fatima's mother, Lorena, and the mother's narrating this horrible, brutal crime that happened to her little girl, the sound just disappears and all we hear is like her naked voice, just really stark.
Ella tenía 12 años, 8 meses. Iba en primer año de secundaria. Era una niña muy dedicada a sus estudios. Estaba en el cuadro de honor. Era la encargada de la biblioteca.
And it makes the scene really intense. And people have told me just how much it cuts into them when they watch the testimony of Lorena. From the very beginning when we set out on this journey, I knew that the film had to come back on the road to the locations where we shot it. It had to be presented there. It didn't matter where. It didn't have to be a theater. It could be a bookstore, a cultural home. It could be in a migrant shelter. It could be on a soccer field. But the film had to be present physically along the route and around the time of this very important anniversary of 500 years. Because otherwise, what you're doing as a filmmaker is that you're just coming and taking what you need, and you're not giving anything back to the real people involved.
Hoy estamos empezando algo muy especial. Estamos en gira sobre los pasos de Cortés, reimaginando el pasado presente.
This tour granted an opportunity for the folks in the film to do interviews, to share the film with their families, to have an experience, to really see a work of cinema on a big, you know, 3-meter by 5-meter screen. It's amazing to see the real people relate to the film, talk about the film, and connect it to their own lives, back to their own struggles that are still ongoing. I remember, for instance, seeing Marta in Jalapa talking about forced disappearances with a government official on one side and a nonprofit leader on the other.
Pertenezco al colectivo Salvecito. Somos madres que luchamos por amor, a encontrar a nuestros desaparecidos.
And really expressing her dilemma in this really beautiful way that touched everybody and that kind of adds to the process of trying to stop this violence. I remember seeing Lorena Gutierrez at the Commission for Human Rights in Mexico City and you know, standing up there with all these leaders that are trying to address this, the issue of feminicide.
¿Qué fue lo que me llevó a esto? La impotencia, el dolor, la injusticia, el no ser escuchada precisamente.
And her having this amazing platform where she could really kind of talk at length in a more artistic way about her experience as a victim and as a survivor of violence. Even though it's a painful project, it had a lot of joy. The route and the presentations were full of joy. We had one evening where like a fandango school was dancing this traditional music from Veracruz under the rain after our screening, kind of like celebrating the moment and the encounter. And I think for me, the film didn't finish until it was present in Mexico. For me, the film was incomplete, even though it had gone to all these festivals, until it went back to the route of Cortés and it was shown to the people who opened up their hearts, the film was not finished. Oftentimes, we don't realize how important history is. Every leader of every country in the world is always trying to interpret and tell us what history should be. And Mexico is no different. Mexico, in fact, has a very long history of building nationalistic sentiment. And the core part of this nationalism is this idea that somehow we as Mexicans were conquered by the Spanish, when in reality that conquest was very complicated and there were many, many different communities that existed at that time that agreed and supported and participated in the overthrow of the Aztec Empire. This construction of we as Mexicans were wounded and destroyed and attacked, but somehow we survive, is very useful because it creates this sense of pride and unity that helps, you know, modern governments kind of keep control of things. People feel somehow that the film offends our sense of patriotism and our sense of pride in Mexico. Some people feel that way. Other people feel that the film really reveals the urgent needs of our country in the present. Even when people feel uncomfortable or they start to push back, I think that leads to a good thing because we need to have a dialogue. We need to be able to talk about these big issues in a complex and difficult way. I think for viewers in the U.S. in general, we need to know more about the history of the world and we need to understand how these histories also impact us. We are in a moment where every debate, every political debate has a history to it. We need to learn to read through that. We need to understand that when somebody refuses to acknowledge the history of slavery, for example, what they're doing is that they're trying to rewrite and impose history upon us. They're trying to build a silence. And so I think in many ways, 499 really reflects the moment that we're in this country where we are trying to grapple a complicated history and where you just can't pick good guys and bad guys. There's a complexity to it.
That was director Rodrigo Reyes talking about his film 499. This episode was produced by Victoria Estrada and edited by Julio Ricardo Varela. It was mixed by J.J. Carubin. The Latino USA team includes Andrea Lopez Cruzado, Marta Martinez, Mike Sargent, Julieta Martinelli, Patricia Zulbarán, Ginny Montalvo, Alejandra Salazar, Reinaldo Leaños Jr., and Julia Rocha, with help from Raúl Pérez. Our supervising senior engineer is Stephanie LeBeau. Our assistant senior engineer is Julia Caruso. Additional engineering by Gabriela Baez. Our digital editor is Luis Luna. Our New York Women's Foundation Ignite Fellow is Maria Esquinca. Our Latino USA Fellows are Elisa Baena and Monica Morales. Our Publix Lab Fellow from the CUNY Graduate Center is Andrew Viñales. Our theme music was composed by Zenia Rubinos. If you like the music you heard on this episode, stop by latinousa.org and check out our weekly Spotify playlist. I'm your host and executive producer, Maria Hinojosa. Join us again on our next episode. And in the meantime, find us on all of your social media. Ahí los guacho. Chao.
Funding for Latino USA's coverage of A Culture of Health is made possible in part by a grant from the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation. Latino USA is made possible in part by the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation. And the Ford Foundation, working with visionaries on the front lines of social change worldwide.
It's really hard to say.
Support for Latino USA comes from Odoo. What is Odoo? Well, Odoo is an all-in-one management software with apps for every business need. Odoo has apps for CRM, accounting, sales, HR, inventory, manufacturing, and everything in between, and they're all in one easy-to-use software. And the best part about Odoo? All Odoo apps are integrated, helping you get things done faster and more efficiently. So when you think about business, think Odoo. To learn more, visit odoo.com/latino. That's odoo.com/latino.